steadfast love of the Lord. The Bible says they are new every morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercies. Thank you for bringing me here today. Thank you for my life. Thank you for your words about to come. Thank you for the cross. My heart is open today. I receive your word. Lifted, I'm changed. I'm enlarged. I receive miracles into my life. Yes. Various dimensions of miracles right now. Come on, you can receive right now. I receive miracles. Healing for my body. If you are here right now and you are sick, this is the place for healing. This is the place. It's a healing place. It's a place for transformation. You can receive healing for your body right now. Oh, Sabroko Shebra Halamanis. Till I receive healing for my body. That pain goes now in the name of Jesus. I receive clarity in my spirit. I receive clarity in my spirit. I know what to do. Wisdom is loud inside of me. In this place, in this house, there's power, there's breakthrough, there's deliverance. Thank you, Lord. I receive all this in my spirit. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I receive your word today in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's good for us to be here. Welcome somebody by your side. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here.
You may please be seated. Welcome, welcome. It's good. It's a long one now. We've been talking about the master returns in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we focus on that coming. No, I'm not talking about, okay, when I say I'm talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you just look at the whole complicated issue. When is he going to come? Why is he going to come? That's not what we're looking at. Sorry. We're looking at the rewards. Come on. The reward. We're looking at when he comes, what will we receive? What's going to happen? What's those kind of stuff? So we're talking about that return. We talk about that's why we said the master returns, praises, crowns, and rewards. Praises, crowns, and rewards. So, you know, it's always important to you ask yourself, is this thing for nothing? I ask myself, is this for nothing? Is there something here? And it's important we'll consider that. And so we've been considering that. And I think, and I believe, I trust God that this has been lifting for you. Come on, are you here? We just started. Come on. I need those faces looking at me. And then you're saying, yeah, nod your head and act spiritual. And it's important that we know that this thing is not for nothing. There's something for it. There's something there. The Bible talks about Jesus. Remember, we started with this. We said, that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured the cross because there was joy set before him. There was something after it. So he was going to the cross, and Jesus was going to the cross. And yet, but he could see the thing after the cross, and then that gave him the strength. So we said this will strengthen your faith. Right? There's something for us when we live for the master. Amen. When we handle and deal rightly with the things that he has given to us here. So we began actually, I think my first verse, I began weeks ago and looked at the fact that Jesus also looked forward towards a reward. He talked about reward, but he also looked towards the reward. Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows now. You see? So going through all that, he said, God, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get the great stuff. And he looked towards that. And he talked about rewards a lot. So we look at that. Then, but we hinged on Revelation 22:12. We hinged on Revelation 22:12, where Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I will give unto every man. Come on. Revelation 22:12. Can we do that again? Everybody. You see. So, we hit another verse, and Jesus said, see, I'm coming, and when I come, I will give and according as his work shall be. So we said, come on, that's a good starting point for us to look at this thing. And we began to look at it from there. We looked at this and looked at that. So so we see reward. I'm coming and my reward is with me. I'm not just coming and they just say, no, the Bible, Jesus is coming. So it's coming soon. And everybody bother. And then when you say Jesus is coming soon, people began to bother about making it or not making it. We settled that part. Right? Settled that cross part. So Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Yeah, I know he's coming soon. But Jesus that said he's coming soon said, I'm coming with some stuff. I'm coming with reward. So he has gone past the place where he's saying, I know who I'm going to come for, who I'm going to get, and then who I'm not going to get. Now he's saying, now for those who I'm coming for, they should understand that I have something for them. They should understand I have something for them. It's like, you know, motivation. It's a good motivation. I've told you that. We've talked about that before. Hallelujah. So we move on. We talked about the cross, how the cross settles our stand with God. We have peace with God because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We began last week to talk about the rewards actually and how they will be. So I've been about 3 weeks now, 4 weeks. So if you've not been here 3 weeks, I think this is my fourth hour. So 3 weeks, 3 hours gone. You can get the message, it's free. You go to a website and get the message, you can get it free. And you follow it, it will really be a great blessing to you. I can't do a total recap now. I thought I've gone 3 hours. That's 3 hours. I can't do a 3 hours recap for you. So, and try. It will be nice. It will be beautiful for you to get that. Because we stopped. We talked about our destination. Come on. Our destination and our compensation. And we said what settles our destination is our belief. Our compensation is settled by our works. Our compensation, come on, by what we do. Our behavior, what we do. And then our destination by what we believe. We settled that also. We looked at that stuff. It's very simple. You believe in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross alters your destination. Then when you do some certain things, he gives you a certain reward for what you do. You see, that's now we now began to look at rewards. Last week, we delved into this reward thing. We delved into it. We looked at Luke chapter 16, right? Okay, take your Bibles there quickly. Luke chapter number 16. It's very important that believers understand this. If you don't understand this, you'll be living in the dark. Faith won't be strong. Say, Pastor, I don't know why. I want to be strong. I want to be a good Christian. But I don't know why. So from time to time, things will just happen. I'll just slide back. I'll just do stuff. Because you're not looking at the future. You're not looking in front of you. You're looking right now in the present. You're looking at this very moment, this very time now. And if you can look from heaven, it will greatly change your actions and your ability to stand through trials and storms and all manner of things that happen to you in life. Are you here? Sometimes people make things look like some spiritual people, some people cannot, some people are weak. No, it's not that. It's the thing, this kind of understanding. When you understand something like this, you are able to act in a certain way. Because you know. You know, when you know, truthfully, when you know that there's something in front of you, it will change everything. It changes everything. There's something in front. Remember Revelation 22, verse 11 said, let him that is holy, let him continue to be holy. Let him that is sweet, let him continue. So you see, and you're wondering, see, but look at this place, look at what he's doing. And you're thinking, I can do what he's doing, I can do that, and just, he's getting away with it. No, he's not getting away with nothing. Come on, he's not getting away with nothing. No. The master will return, and he will answer for that stuff. But you are thinking that you desire, you want for him to answer right now for it. No. When he comes. The Bible talks about praise. I showed you the scriptures on praise. Every man's praise will be of God. Praise will be of God. He will come and praise you. You see, nobody is praising me. Nobody is even seeing what I am doing. The master has seen what you are doing. He's seen it. And he will praise you. And that praise is better than the praise that comes from men. Men can even falsely and wrongly praise you now. They could falsely praise, wrongly praise you, or they could be praising, okay, just like men could be praising the wrong person now. And then the other person is not there and saying, oh, you know, nothing is happening. Okay, can I show you this scripture? Let me show you this scripture. Take your Bibles to Malachi. I think we have it there in Malachi. Let me just show you this scripture. You need to understand this. Look at it. Verse number 14, are you there? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? It is vain. What's the profit? We kept his ordinance. He said, do this, we did this. He said, don't do this, we don't do it. What's the profit? Verse number 15. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk wickedness are set up. And they tempt God. They that tempt God are even delivered. Nothing happened. Are you seeing that there? The proud is happy. They are set up. Everything is okay. Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that brought that thought upon his name. You see it now. Verse 17. And they shall be mine, look at this. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, when in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that served him. Then shall he return. And then shall ye return and descend between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that served God and him that served him not. He didn't now say, alright, I'm going to jump in and settle the matter. He said, in that day. He still pushed it forward. So don't think that he doesn't see. He doesn't know. He sees and knows. So it will use this great encouragement for a believer. To know that I cannot, there are things I cannot do, that is I would not do because he said for me not to do these things. And so, but now looking at it, I'm like, but that guy is doing it and getting away with it. But I see from scriptures that he's not getting away with nothing. The master is going to return and then he's going to settle all this stuff. So go ahead, do what you want to do. It's encouraging. I don't know about you, but it's encouraging. But it might not be encouraging for you if you're living your life right now without a view of reward. What I've just said just now be nonsense to you. Because you're like, I'm getting stuff here and now, so forget that. Well, and then you might be like, but if that is the case, if that is you, then please just stop and say, Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to lay up for myself treasures in heaven. I'm going to show that for you today. I'm going to show you that today. Are you here? Don't always look at everything as the here and now. We're just here temporarily. There's a scripture I want to show you. I don't know if you are ready for all this stuff today. I have some stuff to show you. I don't know if you're ready today. Are you ready today?
Ready,
all right. Let's start off from our Luke 16, right? Let's go back to Luke 16. We'll start off from there. We'll continue from there. Reward. So I'm living for rewards. Now, when I'm living, as I calculate, I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm living for tomorrow. You know, somebody, there's a time, I saw this in the paper sometime, they say a wise man plans for the future. A wise man plans for the future. In the future, the advert was talking about pension and securing the future, old age and all that kind of stuff and all that stuff in the future. But what they told you, if you've listened to me talk about that and from that angle before, because I can never, you know, I don't know if you've had those kind of things, if you have those kind of things in your life, it just strikes you and stays there. A wise man prepares for the future. And at that point, reading that paper, looking at that advert, the Holy Spirit said to me, which future? Which future? That's just that. And it just dawned on me, you know, you're having that conversation with the Lord just like that in that place. In which future? This future or that future? Are you planning for the future, for that future, or just future next when you are 62, 30 years from now? That's not the future. That's just the beginning point of a new life. That's the truth. Eternity. So if you're living, and when you say wise man plans for the future, you cannot ask yourself, are you wise? What you're doing, does it make sense? Planning for the next 30 years, but not planning for eternity. If you're really sincere and you want to seek this truth, if you follow my series for the past 4 weeks, I mean, you'll be so blessed. You see them there, it's in scriptures. But it's simple. Where are you now? Luke chapter 16. When I'm too full like this, it's just like I can touch everywhere. All right. Luke 16, let me go there so we go forward. So, brothers and sisters, be encouraged. The master will return and settle everything. The time spent, money giving, everything I've done for him, he sees them. God is not like, people always like to react everything immediately. You just react immediately to everything. You want to react now. God is not like that. He doesn't have to. Somebody says, can you imagine that? Just insulting God. And he's not doing anything about it. He's a big guy. He can handle it. You wait. And in due season, you will know whether that mouth will continue to run like that. So you just get away with it. Don't worry. Some people will take a knife and or something and begin to fight and kill for their God because he will not be able to handle it. Because there's nothing will happen. You can insult him and get away with it. So they have to act for him. But for our guy, is there anything you want to say? When he comes, we'll see if he will still have mouth. We believe he will come. So we don't need to kill anybody for him. All right. In Luke chapter number 16, I showed you this last week. Can I really do this? I want to do this. I want to show you something. I want to preach. All right. I want to show you a parable you might never have understood. It's what Jesus discussed before he said what we read last week. So we want to read it now. I want to go back. And so I'm going back a little bit to read something that might be tough. But stay with me. All right. In Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. And he said unto his disciples, thank God God has given us the spirit to understand what he's talking about. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. Verse 4. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. You see it now. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much wast thou, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to the another, how much wast thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. Verse 8. And the Lord commended the stewards, the unjust steward, because he has done wisely. That's the B part. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Did you see that? And it confuses you. I purposely read it. I could do everything I want to do, teach this whole thing, and show you 1 million scriptures without touching that verse, without touching that thing. But it's simple. If you understand what we've been talking about, you will now understand what Jesus was saying and why he was commended. Look at it. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Because I've even given you the key already in this service just now. The key to this, so understanding this, okay, I've given you just now in this service. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. What was he talking about? Why would he commend him? The stewardship is going to be taken away from you. What future would you have? Now, with what you have done, you have a future. Because those guys can do something for you. And so, look at what Jesus said. Jesus said it by himself. He said, the children of this age. Now, you want to understand scripture. Simple. You don't complicate it. Don't say. The children of this age, in their generation, they are what? They are wiser than children of light. A wise man plans for the future. Many people dig that matter and they do the right thing. Pensions, planning, investments, structures, and all that kind of stuff. That's wise. They are doing the right thing. But children of light, if we talk about your future, all of you are just sitting down wondering, let him do and go, let's go. There's no wisdom there. That's what Jesus said. Finish. This man will be put out of the stewardship just now. He knows. You take the parable and then you mix it. You spoil the whole thing. I want to give you that parable, then go to the next verse. The verses where we read. And that will now give you light upon the parable and go back and forth. He knows that one day, he didn't give him the day. He said the stewardship will be taken from you. One day you will die. Should we can we do it now? One day you will die. That's the parable. You don't know the day. So what should you do? His life changed immediately. He began to do things in a certain way. Not for the... Now he's still a steward. He's still in charge now. Now he began to live in a certain way in preparation for after. You see it now? That's what Jesus was saying. So one day, the stewardship will be taken away from you. You are all stewards now. All your life, all your money, your talents, your gifts, your beauty, everything is not your own. It's on loan to you. One day, the stewardship will be taken from you. You won't have this your life again. Nothing. And I will show you. You won't have this your life again. And let me get there. I'll say that one when I get there. So one day, take over. So what would you do? So the man immediately, what happened? He changed. He began to do things in preparation for after. The children of this world, in their generation, they are wiser. So the children of this, like, what should we now take from that? We too, we should what? Change and start to do things in preparation for after. That's what he said. That's why the guy is wise. That's why he said, give this guy kudos. He's behaving rightly. If you know that one day this thing will finish, what would you be doing now? He, in this generation, is doing his own stuff. What should we do? We too should live in such a way that when we are done, we'll have stuff waiting for us there. That's why Jesus says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Can you hold your place here? Go to, you are in Luke 16, right? Go to Luke chapter number 12. Let me show, this is what I wanted to say. Let me just quickly do this part out of it. Luke chapter 12, are you there? Look at it. Look at another parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Now he's talking about somebody who knows the Lord. Then he was talking about somebody who didn't know God. Because you see, the next thing. He said, now I laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be what? Merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The next question. The question, not the next, that's the only question there, is the real key to that parable. Then whose? Don't mind me, I'm too excited. When I'm excited, that's how I preach. Then whose shall those things be? So the question of Jesus in this matter is a matter of possession. He was not angry with the man. You jump into too much conclusion. If you read the thing, you understand what he's talking about. The question is the possession. These things you have them, they are yours. Praise the Lord. Dance. The question Jesus has for that man, one question, only one. This thing you have, who will now own it when you leave this body? It's a matter of possession. It's not a matter of not owning. He said, you are a fool. You should make sure it is your own forever. don't understand. It's pathetic when the church, and that's what I tell you, he said, your foolishness now is that it's not going to be your own forever. What you should have done is to ensure you give it away so that it will be your own forever. Everything you give away now will be your own forever. So, if you understand this now, let's watch this. So, let's read the following verse. And he said unto him, sorry. 69, my Bible flipped. I'm still enjoying myself. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then the real problem, with this thing you have said now, the real problem is not that you have money. The real problem is that he's angry with him. Do you understand? Thou fool, you didn't plan wisely for this thing to really be your own. Who will now own it? So now you don't own it because now I'm going to take your soul. But it is you have gathered, somebody else will own it. But the wisdom would have been for you to ensure that it is your own. God wants you to have your own forever. He says foolishness. So he said that the next verse, he now says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. If he was rich towards God, if he gave those things away, it would have been for him forever. So, stewardship. Everything you have now is not your own. The master will say, one day, so you see the master, that day he said, what did he tell that? So let's go back to that parable. I used it to connect that parable. Are you okay? Are we together? I'm hearing a manner of stuff. The stewardship will be taken from you one day. That's the day that fool, your soul, will be required from you. You see it now. The man changes his lifestyle. He begins to prepare. He plans for the future. The future for him in this case is between before the stewardship ends and after the stewardship ends. And for us in light, come on, where is the joy of life? That is for this man now. Stewardship is now what? So, come on. Right? I hope you are. It's simple now. So I'm trying to use this parable and that parable and merge them together for you. So one day the stewardship will end. That's what God said to this man. Your soul will be required of you. This stewardship, all this plentiful stuff, it will finish. Alright. So can we now go to the other parable? It will finish. So come here. In 16 now, he goes further to say, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world, in their generation, they are wiser than children of light. Children of light behave somehow. And you could be teaching like this. And people they pay a deaf ear to it. They're like, do you have wisdom to what we are talking about now? So children of light are always, they take everything as nothing. They don't value it. They just say we are here and now. But this world, they are here and now. They calculate they are here and now. They calculate they are here and now into their 80s. We calculate our here and now just to eat rice tomorrow morning, and we don't care. So he says that's the problem. That wiser, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Look at it. He's talking about this parable. Look at it. He that is faithful in that which is least. So we've entered that verse that you people have always read funnily. You see how he started talking about it. He started from this future thinking. So that verse, the thing you think about when you say he that is faithful in little is faithful in much, is not talking about just here and now. No. The parable was talking about eternity. So, look at it. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also in what? Much. His list is unjust also in much. So, he says, this thing is a test. This life is a test. Everything you have here, nothing compared to what is there. Now, if you are unfaithful here, if you are unfaithful what is given to you here, it's done. It's not a... He will not say, let's give you a chance when you get there. No. You will be unfaithful. So, I've finished judging you. Your judgment has finished. Are you here? So what he's saying here is that the judgment has finished. There's no second chance. It's one time. He will not say maybe. No. That's why I said he. You see, that's why Apostle Paul said, walk out your salvation in fear and trembling. He's not going to say maybe. Maybe she made some mistakes. No. He said, if you are not doing it right now, you will not do it right then. So once you are done, you are done. That's the end. That's the meaning. It's not your money here. You do your business, then tomorrow do your business. You can apply it. See, this principle, you can apply it. Just like when you prepare for your future, your pension, maybe you have pension. It's good. That's correct. You prepare for money, save some money, put some money in savings. You should have some money in savings. If you don't have a savings, you need help. Right? Then we come to eternity. You cannot. You, now, he's saying now, what he's saying now is this. Once you are done, God cannot now, it's appointed unto a man wants to die. When you now get there, you can beg. You can say, please. This is the scripture he will quote for you. He will say, you were unfaithful in least. You will not be. There's no need. It's a law. Are you here now? That's why there can be no begging. This scripture solves that problem. Problem number one. You cannot have a second do at it. There cannot be, okay, maybe it's because of your mother. Okay, what will we do? Let's give you a try. No. If you are unfaithful in least, you are unfaithful in much. You will not, the judgment has finished. By your very action, you judge yourself. It's not him. It's you that determined it. He settled question number one. Question number two. Look again. Verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? This one is the one that pastors have. I don't know. I don't know about you, but the only way some have been able to explain this scripture, some, has been the fact that if you are unfaithful in unrighteous mammon, who give you true riches? It is like the anointing, because that's the only way they could. I was talking to my wife about it. My wife said what she thought. And if you look at sometimes what we think is very funny, the Holy Spirit helps us. My wife said what she thought was, if you are unfaithful in unrighteous mammon, money, who will give you 3 millions? I mean, that's a failure of thoughts from the beginning, basic thoughts, failure of foundational thoughts. If you are unfaithful with money, who will give you more money? The logic is too poor to me to see. I think you're like, no. Funnily, now you are laughing, but that's all your thoughts. True riches, it's the problem is that I think it affects our mind. A lot of things we go through. So, if you are unfaithful with unrighteous mammon, he calls mammon unrighteous mammon, that it doesn't make say nothing. Then, when he now goes to plenty money, he now says it is true riches. No, sir. It's the same thing. So small money is useless. I told her, that's what I told her. If you follow this thought now, it will break principle number one. Abi? The number one, what he just said, that if you are unfaithful in small, you are unfaithful in large. So if you say you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will now give you more money? It doesn't make sense. He already has tackled that thought already. So the first thought is small to great in terms of here and there. The second thought is ordinary money here. Who will give you true riches there? Those ones is, that's true riches. There's nothing here. So that is the truth. He's talking about there, not about here. Not small money to big money. So the only answer we'll do is to say, I will give you more because you didn't handle this one. You didn't handle this one this way. But that already handles you. I go back again to say the first principle already handles that. So that's not what he's talking about now. He's talking about eternity. Then, dear pastor, I've been in meetings. In short, my basic understanding of that scripture for many years was that if as a minister, if you don't deal with money well, he will not give you anointing. You can try. This doesn't work. Number three. Look at it. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is what? Your own. So he comes down to, again, possession. This is why I told you, if you link what I've said now with that parable of that man just now, you see, if you have been unfaithful with another man's own, who will give you your own? The question he asked that man is, whose will these things belong to? It's no longer be your own. It's for sure. I'm taking your soul today. Do you have anything up there? Do you have anything preserved for yourself? No. this steward, when he's done, he will have stuff waiting for him. Because he has cut down people's bills, so that when he gets out, they won't give him the balance, but they'll give him something. Right? They give him something. So, he will have something on the other side. He said, but you, when you are done here, all these things, you just gather them. He told us what he was trying to say is, don't gather things and keep and be looking at it. Spread it out so that you will have it on the other side. So the thing is, right here and now, everything we have is on loan to us. For your beauty, that one is fading by itself. By the time you are 82, we won't know you again. Everything is going by itself. Then everything you have on loan, you will leave everything, die and leave everything here. So if you have gathered houses and cars, you will leave it here. Somebody else will take them. But Jesus says there's another way. You can live in such a way that the things you have will be on the other side. You will use them here. When you are done, you will have them there on the other side to use. He says that one is wisdom. So you're not empty on the other side. And when you have them, when you move to the other side, the last point there gives us the golden key. Another man's own. Everything you have now belongs to God. But once we get to the other side, what he gives to us is our own. He will not trust you with it. I cannot trust you with this thing. Take it. Do whatever you want to do with it. Are you still here? Okay. Since you understood that, let's go forward, right? Let me do 3 scriptures on reward again before we go forward. Should I do that? Okay. Go to Mark chapter number 9 quickly. I'll do these 3 scriptures on reward. Oh, you are in Luke already. Please stay in Luke. Just stay in Luke. Go to Luke chapter 6. So, you finally get those parables, right? Oh, it says, he was angry that the man had money. No. He would have said, thou fool, why do you have money? Mm-mm. He said, thou fool, today your soul will be taken from you. The real problem in this whole matter is these things you have, who will not have them? That's the real problem. It's not, he said, thou fool, you have too much money, so I'll kill you. Come on, people have money. People have so much money. They won't finish spending it in their lifetime, even if they buy something every day worth $1 million. Just one of your big guys here in Africa, he says, I will soon have money more than the whole country. He's not number 5, not number 10. He can't meet those people at number 1 or 2. He won't meet them. They won't have his time. So people have money. So he would have said that all of them should just be dying. That's what you are praying for, that they should die. They won't die. So forget it. That's not what kills. It's the question he asked him is the key to this parable. Whose will these things be? His desire is that these things will be your own. These things he has given to you, entrusted to you. His goal is that he entrusted them to you to use, do well. When he comes, he won't take them. What will he do with them? He will not give them to you in true measure. True measure. It's not like somebody gives you... Okay. It's like somebody gives you... Let me do this. You know, they make a miniature structure of the building before they build the main stuff. A prototype of the building. Designs and everything. And with the flowers and the trees and everything. And they keep it in your care. And a building, a house. Have you seen that story before? They put it inside glass and keep it there. You know, you can see it. They give it to you. They put it in your care. And you don't clean it at all. Clean it, you know, do that stuff. And I said, if I now build the house, I won't give you this house. You cannot even clean and maintain this small one. How will I give you the main house? What we have, everything we have, he has given to us freely to enjoy. They are a prototype of the real stuff we will have. So I can't give those ones to you if you cannot handle these things here. It's just like a type of what we enjoy. You know, you can look at flight, movement, cars, cool environment, illumination. We're doing wood illuminations now. You press a light, the thing turns from blue. You press another light, it turns to yellow illuminations and all those kind of stuff. And all. If you look at those things now, it says there's a true nature of them. In heaven, the Bible says there's no sun. I've tried to think about it. It's funny. Bible says he himself is the light. So there will be no source of sun. It means there's no night. Because there's no source of sun. I say there's no night there. So imagine 20, a day continues forever. That's tough. I'm just trying to find the sun. So the thought I have, the next thought I have is, may the light be coming from him. No. The light will not be radiating from him. But there will just be no sun. He himself, his presence is the illumination of the place. You'll still be able to see him. Unlike sun, if you look up at the sun, it will be bright to your eyes and it goes to your eyes. He will be there, you'll be seeing him. But because of his presence, the place will be illuminated. Science can't explain that one. So, we have a prototype. They are much glorious, much beautiful. Much beautiful. So, I can't give you those things if you cannot deal with these things here and now. So, the way we behave as believers, there are actions, the way we spend our time, our money, our talents, our gifts, the way we deal with other people around us, we help somebody, lift somebody up, or we just lay up for ourselves treasures here. You see, when you are gathering treasures for yourself here, it's like, no, thou fool. All those things you gather, you will leave it. But if you are rich towards God, then that's wisdom. When you are done here, you move to the other side, you have them to use. Are you here? The greatest thing you can get from the parable of that unjust steward is the way he changed when he understood that the stewardship will be taken from him. One day, the stewardship will be taken from you. One day. Stewardship of all the, you have money. I know you have money. You hide it. It's in your bank account. If I ask you, do you have money now? You say, Pastor, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. I know. That's all. It's not like when you ask, I go to Obama and I ask them, hey, you, I say, ah, look at you. You have a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend, though. I don't have a boyfriend. Okay, no problem. We'll soon know one day. Nobody ever has a boyfriend. But we'll catch them one day. Say, no, I don't have anything. I don't have money. It's your own. Do what you want to do with it. By the time will come, the money in your account. I remember when my dad passed. I think if you've not had this, maybe for me, again, it's a reality check. Then I've had even a close friend, very close friend, pass too. So it's for me, it's real. And sometimes you just sit down. Can you, if you join me, you can sit down, join me. I mean, it's too funny. It's funny. Really funny. When my dad passed, he had some money in his account. Then we had to, my other brother had to claim the money. So he had money, but he himself cannot access it. He has gone, he can't access it. And he had to go take death certificate, take his own birth certificate, take certificate, newspaper, do all that kind of stuff and present to the bank for the bank to release the money to him. So the money my dad had that time, my brother collected it. The part that struck me one day, I was in the house sitting and I put my legs on the settee. My dad didn't ever like that. He put his legs on the settee. You say, you don't dirty settee, remove your leg from there. He's for sitting down. Or you lie down on the chair. You say you lie down on the chair, the foam, go and sleep in your room. The chair is not for this, you destroy the foam. My dad was very meticulous, but he was still talking his chair at 60 something to 70. That's how he was. He studied abroad, school abroad, did a modern of stuff abroad. So he was still a very decent American. So he said he set it, his form, he calculated everything for you. So that's an engineer. So he calculated all stuff for you. But when he passed, I put my leg there. So when I put my leg there, like, nobody will come and shout for me that I put my leg on this set. The owner of the set is no longer here. Where is he, sir? The thought was, okay, where is he? They buried his body down there, back of house, one way, that place. Finish. Even this house, sir. Did he go anywhere with it? No. Everything goes. Just go alone. Finish. The only thing that passed. If you think about somebody leaving stuff here, they don't say he will try and take something. There's another parable I wanted to explain to you. I don't know if I will do that today. You know that rich man parable passing through the eye of camel, needle of camel, blah, blah, blah. It's grossly misunderstood. What he said, I will not read that after. Go and read it. What he said is that a rich man cannot take those things to the kingdom. That's what he said. People just mistake it. He says impossible for a rich man to cross here to the things he have to the other side. It's more easier for a camel to pass through the avenue than for a rich man to enter into that side with his riches. He can't. After that stuff, I will do it if I have time next week. I want to do something today. That's what I'm going to do there. After that question,
After that question, Peter said, "We have left all and followed you." Jesus didn't say, "Shut up. If you have left all, leave it. That's how it is. You leave it and go." He said, "No." He said, "We that have left all and followed you." He said, "What do we get?" Jesus said, "For what now? 100% in eternity. Everything is waiting for you." He said, "You left house, car, mother, everything, I'll give you again." So the key to getting anything, the key to taking anything from here there, is to let it go. Can you help somebody? Can you give to somebody? Can you be on essentials, just going through what you need, generating and then passing through, letting go? Once it passing through your hand goes, once it goes to somebody else, you think it is lost. It is not lost. It is those things actually that go to the other side. I've told you before. It's those things you give. I've said this even almost 3 times through this course of this series. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Can you now understand that scripture? Please. Are you here truly? Can you now understand it's more blessed to give than to receive? It doesn't make any sense. How can I take money from my pocket, from my account, and give you? And the Bible says I am more blessed. Wisdom. Because it's now on the other side. That one there is my own. It's going to be given to me back, times 10. You, the 10,000 I gave you, you will spend it here and finish. So me and you, who has actually had more blessing? Are you here? It's more blessed to give, you let it go, than to receive it. The person who received it, he received it here. And you spend it here. But when I gave it to you, in your mind, I'm short 10,000. That's the problem. You have to change your thinking. I'm trusting that this does it for you. I'm short 10,000 from my account. You have gained 10,000 in your account. Which account are you talking about? That the next question should be, which account? Here account. Their account, I've not gained 10,000 there. He will always give it back in greater measure. It went on my account there in greater measure. You see it now? So, the Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive. You can understand that now. You help somebody, it seems to damage you. It doesn't damage you. It goes to your account on the other side. You lift somebody up. You give towards the cause, the orphanage, the poor. You lift somebody up. You say you're not losing that money. You're not losing that money. It goes to your account on the other side. And when it gets to the other side, it will be your own. The only things you have, that one, when you get to that side, it will be your own entirely. Now, as a steward, you behave wisely. So therefore, I can trust you with those things, with that thing there. So anything, you get it, right? That thing now, that you let go here, I'll give it to you. It means that it doesn't have control over you. There's one verse I didn't read just now. Oh, forget it. We'll do it another next week. Are you here? So, if you don't let go of anything, no problem. No problem. You don't let go of anything. You do everything the way you like to do. Keep everything. You lay it up. I want to show you. I have so much work to do today. You lay it up. You do all that stuff for yourself. You lay it up. He says, thou fool, you will leave everything here. You will not have anything. But anything you let go here, you gain it there. So in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about the fact of treasures, where you can keep your treasures. He says you can keep your treasures here. Moths will kill them. They can steal them. Things will happen to them. To get lost, to get useless. Or you can keep it in heaven, where nothing will happen to it. This is all he was talking about. It's the same thing. Come on. Are you here? This is what he was talking about. The same thing. Treasures, keep them. How you keep them, where they are. They can be here or they can be there. You can live so. In essence, you can live for here or you can live for there. I'll urge you to begin to think about eternity and consider eternity for real. You know, stop. What I told you, that everything here is a prototype. From the cars, the houses, all stuff. You should understand, please, hear me very well. There's a tree of life in heaven. Hear me very well. You know how, I want to help somebody. I just feel this statement will kind of rearrange somebody. You know how, you might think it doesn't mean anything. I want to say two things to help you begin to rethink eternity. Because we've settled one matter. We will be with him. The matter we're settling is how we would be with him. Now,
the thought might be, I really don't care. In essence, if I give 20 naira now, just imagine, let me do this for you. I want to help somebody. 20 naira now. So you do 20 naira, 20 naira. I say it's enough. That's what I can give. I'll spend money. It's okay. 20 naira. Then you say, at least, if it's 20 naira, at least say 20 naira, I'll go there. It's okay. Imagine a poor person on earth and a rich person. Can you imagine the two of them? The hope that the poor person has, let me not use the word hope. Two of them, 18, 90, everybody will pass. The rich man will leave his stuff, the poor man will leave his stuff. The problem is that if you live like that, it's not a bad thing. It's okay. You just a level of wisdom. The problem is that imagine a poor person, poor for eternity, and a rich person, rich for eternity. Does that help you? I mean, yes, you are correct. Even if you just do, somebody gives 10,000, somebody gives 1,000. That's all I can give. I don't care. Anybody puts gun to your head and tells you that you will die tomorrow morning because you don't give, that God is angry with you, you burn your store down, he's a liar. You say, I will not tithe. Don't tithe. It's your business. It's up to you. Don't tithe. Eat it. It doesn't kill anybody. It's just you. God will not kill you tomorrow morning because you didn't pay tithe. That's dumb. What does he need it for? It's for yourself. That's the last thing I'll show you before I go now. Yourself. Everything you are doing for yourself. You can't do anything for him. He's already there. You are the one trying to get there. So what are you currently doing for him? I'll show you the scriptures. Four scriptures or five, even six. Look at it. So, you could do that and say, no problem. No problem. Don't die. Don't give. Do everything. Eat the money. Buy your stuff. Do all that kind of stuff. No problem. Then you die. Then you reach heaven. Then he says, all right, this is where you'll be. You say, okay. You take that. Then you see somebody else. He comes. And then he says, this is where you'll be. And he says, great stuff. You must understand that there'll be no hope. There's no chance for another transaction to change your status. Do you understand that? There's one chance of opportunity. It is between when you were born at 001 day old and when you die at 85, 93. Only within that window can you do anything about that time. So if you lose that window, you cannot beg your way, analyze it, and change your status. So if you don't have money here, now let me talk to you. You don't have money here. You say, Pastor, I don't have a car. I have four brothers and we go around. We don't have a car. Nobody in my family has broken through. I heard that kind of things a lot. Nobody has broken through in my family. All of us are just trying. Don't worry. Truthfully, do your best. Work hard. We'll pray for you. We'll do what we do. Give or take. 85, 92 years, everything will be done. You see that? At least you can hold on to that. Then I will now tell you that the person who has cars and house, 92, he will not carry it anywhere. All of us will go into the ground. Then you will say, okay, now go. Eternity is forever. That's what informs my own actions. It affects me because I'm telling myself that anything I don't have now, no problem. You can have it on the other side. And when I have it on the other side, it will be forever. So imagine you don't have it forever and ever and ever. Thank you. If you get the point. Thank you, my brother. You get the point now. Yes, nobody wants to be... You know, okay, let me touch this stuff. Sorry, but this might not be so interesting to you. I don't know why I'm doing this, but let me help somebody truly. No, somebody talks about being rich till you die. Then you will die. That's the idea. But did you say die? Okay. Paul and I, everybody will see that. The question Jesus asks, what Jesus said is, this is how people who are not rich towards God but lay up treasures for themselves. That is what happens to them. They die. And the issue is that they leave it. They leave it. You leave it. Cars, houses, you leave everything and then you will go. So what will be the point? The real point, the real thing you want to do with your life is to lay up treasures for yourself. Jesus said laying up treasures is a bad thing. He didn't say it's a bad thing. He never said laying up treasures is a bad thing. He never said so. It's only where you lay it up that is foolishness. That's what he said. He never said don't gather treasures. He says lay up treasures for yourself. So can we do those scriptures and go? Let me do that. Let me do for yourself and we'll come back to something else. Go to Luke chapter 18.
Are you in Luke chapter 18? Hold your place there quickly. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me do this first for you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I hope this is changing somebody. I'm excited about preaching. It's just good news to share, but I really hope it's blessing your life. Are you there? Luke, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. So, rich is a bad thing or a good thing? It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. He didn't say rich is a bad thing. He said, if you are rich, then you will die tomorrow. That's not what he said. He said, charge them that are rich. So they are rich. He's talking about Christians now. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they may, you know, if you read scripture, maybe you are a little bit slower. You may appreciate it. I love when he says, charge them that are rich, where? Okay. That's what he said. In this world. Almost every sentence can get it clear, if you want it to be clear. Charge them that are rich in this world. Look at it. That they be not high-minded. Nor trust in what? Uncertain riches. These ones are very bad. It's uncertain. Moths, thieves, anything. Come on. How many of you bought shares that time? And some of you might have been too young to have bought shares. There was a time we were buying shares. I bought some shares. I had a certificate in my house. The shares, they give me 73 naira. Like, you people are not serious. I'll walk from here to go and collect some 3 naira from me. Now, that or then, now the shares are useless. What, practically worthless now. I bought some other stuff, put them there. We're planning for the future. Uncertain, very uncertain riches. If I sell them now, I will make less money than I used to buy them. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. What should they do? What should they do? That they do good. That they be rich in what? Good works. Ready to what? Distribute. Willing to what? Communicate. So that then they will not die and they just say they have been good people. No. Laying up in store for who? Are they laying up for God? No. Are they laying up for the poor? No, you are not serious. If I take my money and give it to you, you eat it here. I lay it up for myself there. It's for myself, it's not for you. Not for you. You see that? So, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, teach them, make them see it. Because when they have the money, but if they don't do these things, they hurt themselves, that they do good, they're willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. This world, did you see this world? Did you see time to come now? Two different times. So they are rich in this world, but in the time to come, truthfully, if they don't do these things, they might not have anything. And it beautifully says, I love what I really want to show you. Number one is lay up. They lay up. The lay up means to gather. Number one. Number two, when he now says for themselves, you need to understand whatever you are doing for yourself. That is why, like I said, just now, God mentioned that. He said, if you don't die, he can't hurt God. Doesn't hurt the church. The church of God will march on. If you like, you give it. If you like, you don't give it. If you like, you say, keep it. The church of God will march on. It doesn't happen. So eat it every month, year by year. And you find that if you eat 100% of your income, you will be broke somehow. It's not advice. It's common wisdom that if you live on 100%, you will not be able to prosper because you wait for the next month another 100% again. It doesn't make sense. The principle of tithing is not for God, it's for us. There are people, if you give them 30,000, 3,000 commas, they will die. I mean, it doesn't make sense. You can't die if you remove 3,000. It cannot be that bad. It's for you. All these things will generate for yourself. So it's not for him. They lay up for themselves. So, first of all, I think from this scripture, I can quickly say that wealth is not a problem. Come on. In fact, if you come again, I will teach you that you should actually try and have money. Have as much as possible, so that you can translate as much as possible to the other side. But if you don't have to give so that you can translate, then what you have
fine. Translate as much as you have. That's the real key. Lay up for yourself. You see that there? Reach in this wall. Okay, let me give you another one. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. I think I properly read that one first. I can milk the verse. I'll milk it along the way. In Luke chapter number 18, verse number 22. Verse 21. He was talking to the rich young ruler. And so we jump into the story from verse 21 when he met the guy. The guy had stuff. Or rather, stuff had the guy. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Okay, verse 21. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. Up. Verse 22. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have what? Treasures what? In heaven, and come follow me. Sell everything you have, distribute to the poor. Immediately he said, the next thing he says following it, is that you have what? Treasures in heaven. So when you let it go here, you will get treasures on the other side. You see that there? That is for you. Now, I want to quickly say something concerning this verse and the one we just read. I read it on purpose like that. Those guys there, he said, let them be ready to communicate, to distribute, right? He didn't say they should give everything. He didn't say they should go and sell everything. Are you here? We have that issue when people take something and then they run with it without thinking about it. He didn't say, if you have money, sell everything. You see that? Sell everything. No. He said, ready to distribute. For this guy, the Lord was trying to do something for him. It was not just about giving something. The possessions he had held his heart strong. So the best thing to do for him is to break it. See, sell everything. Are you here? Sell everything is not everybody's instruction. It is his instruction. It could come to your heart to give everything. You see it now? Give everything. If the Lord speaks to you like that, fine. But he doesn't always speak like that. In fact, we have several scriptures that shows he doesn't speak like that. Several scriptures. Let them that are rich in this world, let them be willing to distribute, ready to communicate. He didn't say sell everything. Paul says, let him that steal no more. Let him rather walk with the sound what is good that he may have to give. You see, Paul says that we should not be busybodies, working with our hands, something that is good that we can have to provide for ourselves, so we are not a burden on any other person. There are enough scriptures to show you that is not the goal. It was for this man particularly. Are you here? But the goal here, the idea here, and what I want to show you, is that how Jesus said, give to the poor, and what? Immediately you will have what? Treasures in heaven. The treasures you have here, immediately, who will have them in heaven? You will have them in heaven. You see it now? He didn't say, when you give to the poor, it has finished. The money has gone. The money did not go. The money just moved from this side to the other side. You will now have treasures in heaven. You see it now? You will have treasures. You know, God, you could say, give. No, when we say give, some of you just, all you hear is give and the money has gone. No, sir. When you hear a tithe, you take a tenth of your income and you give. And you give a tenth of your income. You're like, so they just paid me salary last one. They paid me $150,000. And I now removed $15,000. You know, that's my tithe. So $15,000, you don't come up with your money like that. What they try for church, oh? What I say, Pastor? So Pastor, your check and your trouble. No offense. if I go into that matter, most of the time, people that say those things and all that, they're usually broke in debt. Their finances usually bad. If you understand, they're usually broke in debt. They are wondering how you do, because they think that if they can insure, they can even kill you. Be careful to take that thing. You have to add to their own. They're broke in debt. We always talk about it, that we find that the people who are giving, always, if we do another project next week, they'll still give again. People that didn't give, they will still not have to give. They never accumulate enough to have to give. Because greed and consumption is very bad. Buy on manner, spend on manner, they will still not have. The you that gave, if we see next year we're doing another project, you will still give. You don't wonder, why is it that the givers are still the ones giving, and following they are still going forward? It's a mindset. What God wants you to really do is break your mindset. You can take your tithe from now forever. A pastor that opens a church to eat tithe is a fool. Is a fool. Is it now? I have investment that generate more income than what pastor. So it doesn't make sense. There are pastors, there are different ones. Alright. Look at this. Can we go forward? Go to I have read down for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Sorry. I over-enjoyed myself today. Truthfully, I was explaining a difficult parable. That's why. Come on. Apology accepted. I'm ready to go. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 4? So Paul says in verse number 8, come on, read for me. So Paul says there's a crown of righteousness. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness. He was certain about this. He was certain because of what he has done. Some of you tell me, Pastor, I'm not certain. I'm certain of what I have. It's left to you. You are not certain because of what you do. You're not certain because of how you live. You see, if for example, you can say, I don't know if I'll have money tomorrow. You see it now. I didn't go to the office. I didn't come to the office on Saturday. But there was money in the office. I'm certain. I'll have money next week. It's like that. So if your actions will determine if you'll be certain. So Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me. He didn't say for all of us. He said for me. Then he now says, when he said for every other person, he said for those who also what? Love his appearing. Are you waiting for him? Do you expect? Do you live in a day and say he will come? Are you saying that my master will soon return? Or how are you living? So if you don't love his appearing, say there's no crown, don't worry. Say, but for me, somebody like me, he said there's a crown laid up. He used the word laid up. It means that God prepares the crown. This is what Paul said. If you read English, normal. He prepared the car and cleaned it and kept it on a shelf. It's laid up for me. Paul said it with high degree of certainty. That's Apostle Paul. He didn't do anything with his life. There was no aiding. There was no early wrong. There was no misses. He said there was no time for other stuff. He said there's a calling on my head to do stuff. Paul, radical. All the book you are reading, Corinthians, Colossians, Romans, he wrote all of them as letters. So, come on. He said, he knows. He said, there's now. He said, and he says, laid up for all of us. He said, for me. So you need to know what you are dealing. If you know, then you can be certain that this thing is waiting for you. Then there's something he says there. I will come back here when I do next week. I have to come next week. If God allows. You know, last week we talked about this stuff. We talked about firstborn. He's. All these things by right of the fact that he was born first. He didn't do anything. You know how unfair it would be for God to put you in a position for eternity and it's not your fault. Come on. You know, I just said rich and poor just in eternity. You know it would be unfair. Right? This you can call this unfair and you say, where is God? Why am I in this position? Why am I in this position? He will tell you it's just for a time. But if for eternity he will put you in a position and you didn't do anything to contribute to that position and somebody else is in a higher position than you for eternity, he will be unfair. So you know what he did first of all to settle that matter? He gave all of us equal chance, equal opportunity to do what anything we do. Can you link this to yourself now? Will not determine where you will be. So when you see yourself there, anything you have, he says, you that did it. I'm not the one that gave it to you. If you see somebody on the other side now, you know, somebody could be born rich, just born like that. He didn't do anything to contribute to that. And so it's not your fault. Girl, come on. My father passed when I was in school. You can imagine. I was already in university when he passed. If he passed when I was in secondary school, I don't know if I would have gone to school, university at all. Imagine that. So we have somebody who finished school and the father passed and she couldn't further. And now she's just been there. There's nothing. She didn't contribute to that. Somebody is born a son of a billionaire. Come on. We are just stressing ourselves. When they look at us, they're like, oh, now do. You can never do anything. Never. That one now, we can say, Ojoro. He says, calm down.
That billionaire will leave her billions here. You two will leave your money. The real thing I want for the two of you is to use what you have the best. If you, next week I will show you from the parable of the talents. If he gives you 100 and you produce 100, good for you. If he gives you 20 and you produce 20, another 20, 100%, the same thing. It's not about what you have here. It's about how you use it here. Ah, God. There's so much to do. It will not be cheating by that time. So, somebody can be a billionaire and you just have your basic income for a month is 150,000. And this person was born like that. His father would just give him two companies. He would not have it. Just, come on, I hear so many. I'll tell my wife, what kind of cheating is this one? You are trying to build a house. Somebody gets married. The day he gets married, they give him a whole duplex. You are going to work for the next 30 years of your life to build a small 3-bedroom flat. He's cheating. Why? What did I do? Why is my father? What happened to my father? You know? They will add a car to you. The mother will now come. The father has given you a house. I will give you a car. Hey, uncle will now come and say, no, that's enough. Then why are you working right now? Just he will give you another job. Then you go to that kind of wedding, you just like, oh God, who did I? I don't see this guy marry. Why I don't see this guy marry? Let me go. But, you see, there's nothing you could do. You didn't attend King's College. That's why you didn't meet him. You couldn't attend King's College. You sure your problem started from where you were born. But eternity, once we get there, you will not stand before God and say you are unfair. He is now forever. This guy is going to be bigger than me forever. What did I do? Then you say, you saw the sick. You did not visit them in the hospital. You say, in prison, you did not even go see them. You see it now? So it's not about what you have. It's about what you do with what you have. That's very important. I think that's powerful. So, he's setting, then he says a righteous judge. He's a righteous judge. He will judge correctly. It's not cheating with God. It's righteous. Then he says, there's a crown of righteousness. He was certain. He says, God is righteous. He's a righteous judge. And then there's a crown waiting for him. He too was certain of that crown. Now, so, and his crown was for him. It was not for somebody else. It was for him. Now, quickly take your Bibles to, let's let you go here at Matthew chapter 6 so that we go today. Come on, somebody bless today. God's word was not given to increase your knowledge, but to change your life. If it doesn't change your life, your stuff. Are you here? Okay, look at it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. I want you to just make note of the word, what Jesus says, and then I'll leave you. I don't want to bother about doing this too much. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moths and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So it's not, this is not a matter of this. Don't lay up for yourself treasures here. Then he goes to verse number 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So he says, Jesus says something from that verse. If you mistake that, if you think that he said do not lay up treasures, you are wrong. Because he said lay up treasures for yourself. Don't lay up treasures for yourself. But the problem, the challenge he has was the location of the treasures. If it's here, you will leave it. If you don't leave it here, thieves will come. And if you leave it here, somebody else will take it. That's why he asked that man. Thieves will come, or it will lose value or something like that. But if you lay it up in heaven, then you are insecure. They can be stolen. It's there for you. Come 25 years, it will still be there for you. You see? So the issue is lay up treasures. Now, from this verse, if this was where we read first, I'm sorry we are reading this last. But it's okay if you have been with me for the past 1 hour. He says lay up treasures for yourself. Don't lay up treasures for yourself here. Lay up treasures for yourself there. The question you should ask. Now, the question anybody should ask after reading those two verses is, how do I lay up treasures for myself in heaven? Because I cannot take and say, heaven, Angel, come and take this money, put it in my account there. So the question is, how do I actually do that? I've taught you that already for the past 1 hour. When you take it and give it to somebody else, that cannot repay you back. Hey, that cannot repay you back. So you give it to somebody that will give you back. Then, it's settled. Account balance. 2,000 account balance. Remember the parable we read? What he told that man when he invited people to the party? He said, don't get people to the party. When they do their own party, they will invite you. He says, that's nonsense. You get your reward already. He said, invite the maimed, invite the poor, invite the sick. I think one of the best ways to really celebrate something is to help people who cannot, you know, go out there. There are really people in a very bad shape. That's why Father's Band is going on the 26th. Father's Band is going on the 26th to give. We are spending hundreds of thousands. We are going to two government schools. Hundreds of thousands will be going for that project to make uniforms, water bottles, bags. You know, last time we gave bags to people who did not, they bring cellophane to school. Cellophane, nylon. How much nylon can they bring? I mean, we gave bags to them. Now, I think we're doing school sandals this time around. We're going to government schools and we're doing that kind of stuff. When we take and do that kind of stuff, that is the way to transfer the treasures to the other side. Because in that way, you can't get it back. It leaves you here and then it goes to the other side. Now, anything you do, you know, when as I was teaching this series, I thank God I'm here at this point now. I'm sorry. I'm really going beyond my time here. You know, when you're teaching something like this, the first thing people think about is church. You come to church and sweep, you come to church and do choir, you come to church and preach. All those are also added. But, I mean, help a neighbor. Can you sacrifice for a neighbor? Can you do something for a neighbor? You know that this neighbor is, please, I'm this way. You help somebody, you know, lift somebody up. Just take some part of what you have and do that. You do church, do all that. But there are many, many ways you can lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. Many, many ways. They're all around you. Nobody's cheated. There are opportunities around you every day. Every day, God gives you opportunity to invest in heaven and keep it there. Every day. Around you. People around you. Father's Band is a means for us to do that. If you've not given to Father's Band, you can see Mr. Kenzo. She'll help you, support you. He'll give. Send something to Father's Band. He said, somebody said, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to give. Father's Band is an opportunity. There are a lot of people sometimes they don't have stuff, they don't know who to trust. If I give you this money, they'll go and spend it, you know, and all that. So give it to Father's Band and we'll help you channel it out. Father's Band will help you channel it and give it to somebody in need. You can't go to school yourself. If you go to school, you take one bag and give one child. We are going to school to give over 200 children. So you can imagine that's the bulk of what we put it together and give it out. Give it out. So when we do that, we're not saying we just lost hundreds of thousands. Come on, we didn't lose anything. We are laying up treasures for ourselves. No treasures for ourselves. Are you still here? Thank you, Jesus. So, can I say something to you? God wants you to lay up treasures. The issue is where you keep them. If God wants you to have stuff, the issue is how you have them, how you handle those stuff. God wants you to have stuff. He doesn't want stuff to have you. Now, if you are here, I think I'll just do the radical thing Jesus did. If you are here and you find yourself stuck to your stuff, you can give. You can have several earrings, this earring, gold stuff, all around stuff. You can just this one. I like this. This is my best earring. This one. I like this earring. He said I can't give it to anybody. No matter even what end, I don't give it to anybody. That earring, quickly, just give it to your sister. Give it to somebody. Just say I dash you. But you say no. Seriously, thank you. God bless you. You are releasing your heart of anything that keeps you to this end, that binds you here. If you are finding yourself attached to anything too much, it's the thing you are never, I will yet die. Just release it quickly. Because that thing is no longer you having it. It's the thing is now beginning to have you. And that becomes a problem. God wants us to have stuff, actually. But it's what we do with them that matters. Are you here? When we live in such a way, sacrificial, we give up stuff, we do all that stuff, there's a reward waiting for us in the future. He will come back again. He will give it back to you again. Amen. I love you so much. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Come on, I trust you've been blessed today. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now makes sense. Amen.